Good evening and welcome to the Dr. Naiman Shah podcast. Today is Friday, December 25th, 2020. For the latest on the SARS-CoV-2 pandemic, we now turn to Dr. Henry Naiman.
Okay, thanks, Ryan. Yeah, I wanted to give an update on the variants. Most of the information really is on the variant in the United Kingdom. Several countries have added new sequences now. I've actually put them on a map. So the map's got, I think there's 34 variants from the UK that are not in the UK, and then there's one from South Africa that's that actually is in the UK. And so I'm pretty much limiting these variants to ones that are out of the country of origin to show where they're spreading. And in the UK, they're totally blanketed with their variant now. And so it's everywhere, and it's a very high number. And it's not very amenable to the map where I'm putting the individual sequences. But the map's now got 34 variants that have the matching sequences with the UK, but they're not in the UK. And the one matches South Africa, but actually is in the UK. The UK actually has two, but they've only got one sequence. So the ones that are on the map are not the ones that are, you know, cited in the media stories. They're ones where the sequences have actually been deposited. And so the map basically shows where the deposited sequence is, and it gives them, it links back to the sequence thread at recombinomics.co. And anyway, just today, there was quite a bit on the sequencing front. There were sequences from Ireland. I think there were a total of seven sequences from Ireland were deposited today. Five sequences from Japan. I think one sequence from the Netherlands. And one sequence from France. And so that was quite a good size number. And then the media reports indicated that these countries that had submitted sequences earlier, or even Japan, which submitted sequences today, were getting more cases. And they even had examples of onward transmission in Japan, where one of the travelers came back and then infected a family member. And then they had an example of community transmission in Israel, where one of the positives, and they're now, I think, up to six. So Israel's up to six, and one of the positives is a person who had not traveled. And they, at least in the media report, they gave no indication as to how she got infected. They didn't say she was a contact to one of the travelers. They just said that she, you know, tested positive. They sequenced it, and they were, and she was positive. And they're bumping up their sequencing, and they bought a new sequencer, and they're going to be doing, I think they said 700 sequences a day, and they're trying to get a handle on it. They put in travel restrictions for, they did it for the UK, South Africa, and I think they threw in Denmark. And so they're trying to limit the number of variants that come into the country, and they're trying to speed up their vaccinations. But they're already up, they only deposited one sequence, but they're already up to six confirmed cases that apparently they do have sequence data on already. And similarly in Japan, they first started talking about their cases this morning. They were talking about five cases, two that went into the airport near Tokyo, and three that went into the airport near Osaka. And then this afternoon, they talked about four more from Tokyo, and those about three that traveled from the UK, but they were tested negative when they arrived, but then they subsequently developed symptoms and got tested and were positive. And that also happened to a family member who had not traveled. So that was the onward transmission. And so they're all positive also. So it looks like there are five sequences from Japan, but now there are nine cases, and they're kind of in three clusters, although the two from Tokyo, you know, it's not clear that they were even together. The numbers they gave were a little bit apart, whereas the three in Osaka were consecutive numbers. So I'm pretty sure they arrived together. But in any event, they're up to nine already. And then their media reports is there's a case in Germany, which they haven't put the sequence up yet. And there's one that says there's four cases in Belgium. And there's some earlier stories about cases in Iceland. And then as far as what sequences are already there, I kind of have them on the map in order, but I think there were nine, the first nine were all from Denmark, and then there was a case from Australia, then the Netherlands, then Hong Kong, then Singapore, then another one from Australia, and then Gibraltar, and then Hong Kong, and then the Netherlands, and then Italy, and then Israel, then France. These are all in the chronological order based upon sample collection. And then Australia, then the Netherlands, and Ireland, and five from Japan, and then five more from Ireland. So that's how you get up to 34. And these are all based on the sequences. They're not the ones, you know, like there's only one from Israel, although media reports said there's already six confirmed. There's only five from Japan, although media reports say there's now nine confirmed. So there's quite a few out there. They've already done the sequence and already confirmed that these are from the UK variant, but they haven't put them on deposit. So the only ones on the map are the ones that got a characterization sheet. A lot of times they'll give the age and gender of the patient, and they'll give when they were submitted as well as when they were collected, and I say what lab actually did the collection and what lab did the sequencing. So they're all kind of documented, and these are all definite cases. And you know, they not only have the characterization sheet, they actually have the sequence so that you can see how similar they are to the sequence from the UK. And there's, the UK's not on the map, but I think there's at least 1,000 sequences from the UK, and there's probably a little bit more than that. And so putting 1,000 on the map would be a lot of work, and it's you can tell from where the just what lab they're coming from that they're really all over the country. They go up to Scotland and you know, the whole United Kingdom is overrun with this variant. And then on top of it, they got a couple from South Africa, including one that went to London. That one they haven't deposited yet, but the bottom line is that the map, I always view the map as being something that the most interesting aspect of the map is where the virus isn't, as in the United States or North America or South America. There are zero variants in North or South America, even though there's, you know, 9 in Japan, and there's a couple in Hong Kong, and there's one in Singapore, and they and all of these are pretty much coming from the UK, and so there's no reason that, you know, there are people flying to Japan or Australia or Singapore with the virus from London or, you know, major city in the UK, and none of those are flying to the United States. I mean, that or to Canada or to Mexico. So, you know, these are serious surveillance issues that a lot of these seem to be met at the airport or tested at the airport, and they're picking them up there and putting them into quarantine, and that doesn't seem to be happening in the Americas, because they've got zero that they picked up at airports, and then they got zero that they picked up on surveillance, and their surveillance has been lagging. I had already mentioned this, and they're bumping things up, and I mentioned earlier that, you know, they had all these sequences in New York. They had this one change that's by the Polybasic seaweed site, and there's about 70 that are positive for that in New York. Actually, Wadsworth, there's actually more that are done by the state lab, not Wadsworth, but I think the city labs. But at any event, there's other sequences from other labs that have the same change, but they don't have a whole series of changes, so they're not really in the variant category. They're in a slightly different clade category. But, there's been a few other developments that's worth mentioning, because this is going to be rapidly evolving, and it's kind of news today, and we'll just be, well, that's what I thought, sometime next week, I think. But the media reports, cable news seems to be starting to acknowledge the fact that these variants may not react all that well with the vaccine that everybody's waiting for. And there may, in fact, be additional problems with cross-reactivity. So the numbers have started to come down where, you know, they say, well, we got 95% effectiveness, and they say, well, even if it comes down to 80%, that's still pretty good, and 80% is pretty good, but they just made the 80% up. They don't know what it's going to come down to. It could go down to 0%, and so they've kind of acknowledged that it might go down, and then on CNN, they put out a story, and they kind of mentioned it on air or something about, well, there may be a problem with the vaccine, and that's because they got some scientists that kind of looked at the mutations. They say, well, they're not really sure that these mutations aren't going to affect the vaccine. I mean, there's a deletion at positions 69 and 70 in the spike protein, and there's a paper that talked about escape mutants, and that those two changes, you know, those two deletions were apparently were popping up in a patient that was somewhat immunosuppressed and being treated with convalescent antibodies. So you got the convalescent antibodies, they're trying to keep the virus out of control, under control, and the virus keeps popping up. And they look at the virus that comes out, and all of a sudden it's got this deletion, and they figured that the deletion is helping it escape. So that's a problem, because that deletion's in all of the all of the variants from the UK. They've all got two positions to lead at 69 and 70, and then they got a third one at 145. And as I mentioned earlier, that, you know, you start pulling these amino acids out of the sequence, and then that affects how the molecule is folded. And then those antibodies that were made against wild type that didn't have the deletions basically have their contact points in one 3D configuration that kind of matches their binding pocket, so they recognize it and they latch on. And then you take out a couple amino acids and the folded molecule is folded a little bit differently, and then those contact positions don't match up anymore, and the antibody has a lower affinity or has very little affinity, and has a low affinity, not just lower, and it doesn't work. You know, it's got to recognize and bind, and the tighter it binds, generally, the better it's going to work. And if it doesn't bind very tightly, or if it doesn't bind at all, then the virus has escaped, and that's its goal is accomplished. I mean, its goal is to evade the immune system. They are called escape mutants. I didn't make that term up. That's a term in the literature that's been in the literature for a while, and it shows how a few changes can have a fairly big effect, even if it is polyclonal antibodies that they're affecting, because, like I say, change the shape of the molecule and you knock out a lot of different antibodies because they their contact positions have moved around a little bit and they don't really fit into the antibody molecule. So there's been some talk about them kind of being a problem, and you know how quickly they can make a new antisera, and well, you kind of see how long it took to make the old antisera. It took a year to make it, and everybody was raving about how fast that was. And so and then once it's made, talking about another 6 months to get it distributed. So if you got to distribute a whole new set of injections, and they take two again, and you got to make a whole new set of vaccines, which is a little bit on the slow side, and they're running out of ingredients. And so they make a whole bunch of vaccines, and they find out they're not working anymore, and they, you know, depends on how badly they're not working, whether they're going into somebody's arms or they're going into, the garbage, and they're going to start over with a new RNA sequence that they're going to put in their liposomes, and they're going to start manufacturing new stuff, and you know, I don't know if they how much testing they have to do before they can start delivering the modified version. But the problem is there's too much virus. So there's a lot of virus out there. The virus is able to recombine and mutate and change. And one of the scientists says, "Oh, it's got all these mutations that I'd never seen before." Well, they look closely, and actually GSAT has things set up so you can do searches on individual mutations. What you can find is these individual components that are, like the 10 changes in the spike protein. If you look at those each individually, you can find them. Not in another variant. You can find them in another Italian strain that instead of having 10 changes, it has two changes. But one of the two changes is one of the 10 that's in the variant. So the variants kind of picked up a lot of these individual changes and put them all together into the same virus. And they look at it, it's got 10 changes, it's got three different deletions. And like I say, they're deletions that were around. One of the sets of deletions is position 69 and 70. Those were around in humans, and then they went into mink. and then they came out again into humans. And there are a lot of people in Europe that had that same deletion, that same set of deletions. They're missing, you know, position 69 and 70, but they don't have the other eight. They don't have this one receptor binding domain change that you keep hearing about, the N501. Why they don't have that, and so they've changed a little bit. Actually, a lot of them have a different receptor binding domain change that matches what they were getting out of the mink. So kind of like they went into the mink and they got these changes, and they popped out, and the mink farms are just high density places where viruses can infect a lot of mink really quickly and cause dual infections and cause recombination, and they can get a couple different viruses to go in and get a recombinant to come out, and then after it spreads in the mink, then the mink infects the humans. The workers have to make farms, and then they take the virus out of the mink farm and start infecting other people. So, And it's not just Europe that there's problems. Canada's got problems with mink farms. The United States has got problems with mink farms. Many countries in Europe have problems with mink farms. And by problems, I mean infections by COVID, or SARS-CoV-2. And you know, they seem to be picking up these receptor binding domains to these deletions, and that's what the variants have. If they got receptor binding domain changes, they got deletions, and they've got a lot of mutations concentrated on one spike protein, and then they've got other mutations in other genes. And so it's quite an assembly of issues that the host has to deal with, and based upon its enhanced spread in the UK and also in South Africa, it sounds like the hosts really isn't dealing with them that well. They're in fact complicit in the spread of the virus, and the virus is spreading more quickly. And so the bottom line is that the virus is all over the place already, and a lot of countries are reporting them, and the countries that aren't reporting them, like the U.S., aren't reporting them not because they don't have them. It's because they're not testing for them, and they haven't really got their testing screening program geared up, and they kind of slacked off a little bit. I mean, the U.S. did a lot of testing when things were really hot, and you know, the East Coast, there was a lot of testing that was going on there. There when it was spreading, there was some more testing, and there is testing going on, but it's not at the level that it was at. And now it probably will get to the level it was at. It'll probably get above that. So I mean, the capabilities are out there. That a lot of these labs, most of the labs in the U.S. can do sequencing, and they can do it at fairly high volume. They just have to be committed to collect the samples and run the tests and analyze the data. And it's just, you know, putting one foot in front of the other. It's not like they got to invent the wheel. Although, in one sense, they do have to invent the wheel because they're out of wheels. They basically, there's enough testing going on, and they're running out of the reagents they need to do the test. So, you know, there's, I mentioned before, proteinase K is one of the ingredients that kind of gets rid of the protein so they can extract the RNA. And proteinase K is predominantly made in China and is used not only to make vaccines like these messenger RNA vaccines, because you got to get the RNA to make the vaccine to put in a liposome to put in the arm, and they also have to extract the RNA to do the PCR test, and so a lot of tests going on, and there's an increasing demand for vaccine, not just in the U.S., but worldwide. And, you know, there's a lot of interest in the messenger RNA because they got approved first, and they at least initially are 95% effective. But you got to, you know, to make the vaccine, you got to extract the RNA and put the RNA in a liposome, and then you inject that. And if you don't have the proteinase K to extract the RNA, you basically have the manpower and you have the machinery and the equipment, but you don't have the ingredients. So it's kind of like you're baking a cake, but you're missing one of the ingredients, and you know, having all the other ingredients isn't really going to make the cake you want to bake if you're missing something. And it's back ordered. You can't replace it, or you can, but you can't replace it today or tomorrow. You can replace it when you're time. You know. So anyway, so there'll probably be some authorizations done, and then there's debate like between Pfizer and Moderna as to who's going to get the ingredients. It's not fair to basically give it to one and have the other one have these contracts and say, well, I can't give you the vaccine that you ordered because I can't get the ingredient because you took it all and gave it to the other guy. You know, so anyway, those are some of the ins and outs of a pandemic, that there's a lot of demand for something that usually is in full supply and isn't because of the demand. So the vaccine's going to be an issue. Even making more vaccines going to be an issue. The death toll is going up. The projections are there's going to be in the U.S. a 500,000 dead by the middle of January now. So they kind of moved that up. It used to be by the end of January they'd get to a 500,000. So we're kind of on track. I think it's 300. I don't even know what it is. It changes every day, but I think it's 330,000 now that are dead. And without the holidays, there's over 3,000 that die every day. If the states aren't reporting the data or the guys who have to verify the death certificates are basically on holiday, then the data doesn't really come in quite as quickly, and then they kind of catch up a little eventually. But, you know, some of the numbers over the holidays are a little bit lower. Usually Friday's the highest day, and a lot of states didn't report yesterday, and the ones that didn't report yesterday aren't reporting today. And so there won't be any records set today other than maybe a record number of labs reporting zero. But anyway, the numbers are going up. They're expected to increase. The deaths from the Thanksgiving travel hasn't really hit yet. That'll start hitting, and then that'll be followed by the Christmas and New Year's travel, which is apparently going on at a high clip, higher than it was for Thanksgiving. And the virus is going on at a high clip. It's higher than it's been ever. So you have a lot of virus, and you have a couple of variants that transmit very well, and people are kind of, some are have pandemic fatigue, other ones still don't believe it exists. And even if it exists, they don't want to wear a mask. And it's just a disaster that's going to be piled on top of a disaster. And so the death toll is going to go, you know, latest projection is going to go to 500,000 by the middle of February. And variants are going to transmit. You know, the examples I gave were, you know, the latest Tokyo one was that there were three travelers that came back, they tested negative, and then they subsequently developed symptoms, and then family member developed symptoms. Now, not everybody's going to go ahead and once they develop symptoms, say, well, I'm going to go and get tested and go into quarantine, or in this case, go into the hospital. Others will say, well, it's really not that bad. And, you know, I don't even know if it's the variant. I might have just got it once I got here, and it might just be the same COVID. And, you know, I'll kind of take it easy, and maybe I'll, you know, I won't go to work because it's a holiday right now anyway. But that doesn't mean that I won't end up affecting other family members, and those other family members will have contacts, and they, you know, will have infected them when they were still asymptomatic, and they won't even think about that, and they might not want to talk to contact tracers anyway, and the virus will just take off, and that's going to happen. So the virus is here. So far, zero confirmed in the U.S., zero confirmed in Canada, zero confirmed in Mexico, zero confirmed in Brazil. And confirmed is the key word on all of those statistics. So the virus is spreading. They don't even know where it is because they haven't identified positives yet. Other countries are identifying positives, but they don't know where it all is because they're not catching everybody. And you take a look at the map, it's pretty clear that, you know, it's in Japan, it's in Hong Kong, it's in Australia, it's in Singapore. None of those are that close to the UK. And then it's in all these, you know, it's in Israel, and then it's in, you know, all of these European countries, which is not a surprise. It's in Germany, it's in France, it's in Denmark, it's in the Netherlands, it's said to be in Iceland, said to be in Brussels. And, you know, that's, you can just look at where the UK is, and it's in Ireland. But, you know, you can look at where they're located and how far they are from Europe, and how often people travel between, you know, the UK and the United States. And the idea the U.S. has none is silly. You know, that's definitely here. But the fact that there's none confirmed is, you know, just a reflection on how poor the surveillance is. So that's where we stand. The numbers are going up. The numbers are really higher than those that are being reported. And this variant is just you know, a more mutated version of the Italian strain, and the Italian strain has taken over the world. So the ones with B614G are everywhere now. And they're both of the variants have that change, because they're both are the Italian strain, just added a whole bunch of changes. And unfortunately, these are going to take over the world also. And especially the UK variant seems to be the one that's moving around. The South African one has only been identified in the UK so far. There's two different locations there. And but a lot of the countries, like I say, their surveillance isn't really high enough, so they're not detecting anything. But they're the ones that are detecting something are detecting the UK version. And there's a lot in the UK. And the UK, they're up to 80% of the testing now is the variant. The variant's pretty much taken over. If it hasn't, you know, it'll be getting close to 100% in January. And that's what people will get when they, you know, come back from the UK or travel from the UK, which they're doing now for the holidays. So that variant is going to be in these other countries at much higher levels in January than December, because that's when there's tons of virus in the UK and more than average travel. So anyway, that's the update. Take a look at the map. The map's got, you know, where things are, and you should look at it today, because it won't look that way next week. It'll be much fuller, and it'll get to a point where it'll be TMTC, the too many to count category, and then it probably won't get updated because, I'm not going to be putting a couple thousand, locations in each day, which is where things will be in the not too distant future. So that's part of the reason I'm not doing the UK, because it's everywhere there, and there literally are thousands. And there weren't any today. Every day it's Christmas, and they don't send them in. They don't go up that much. But it's just like the screening. They got none because they're not testing the right sample. They're testing older samples, so they're not going to get a new virus that started in the UK in November in a big way by looking at samples from collected in November, because they hadn't moved to the new countries in good numbers yet. They're in good numbers now, so if they test samples that were collected in December, they get positive. And if you look at the map, that's what's on the map. These were almost all of the sequences other than Denmark that are on that map were collected in December. And therefore, the U.S. putting in a whole bunch of sequences in December from samples that were collected in November don't have the variant because they're testing the wrong month. They got to test the December ones. So they'll get to that, and they'll, I don't know if they'll get to it this year, but next year, January, all of a sudden there's going to be this variant, that variant, and by then everybody will say, well, what do you expect? The variant transmits more easily and it's all over the place, and why wouldn't they detect it? And you might ask, why didn't they detect it in December? But anyway, you kind of already got the answer to that. So have a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. We'll have more reports before New Year's, but we won't have any more reports on Christmas. This will be it for the day. And we'll do more updates in the next several days.
Thank you for that information. That's it for this edition. And have a good evening, and thank you for listening.